Leading us today in our songs of worship this morning. And thank you, orchestra, all playing for us and ministering to us today with instrument. And we really, truly appreciate that. I want you to open your Bibles today to two places. The first one you'll be able to find probably no problem. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. But the second place I want you to turn, and we're going to come to this perhaps towards the end of the service, is Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, and then 1 John chapter 1. I will give you a little help. If you can get to the book of Matthew, go left in your Bible just a little ways, and you'll find the book of Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 1. On Wednesday nights, I've been preaching a series of sermons through the book of 1 John, and it's around the theme of God wants you to know, some things God wants us to know. And this past Wednesday night, we preached a lot. We actually preached a majority of this sermon, but I want to get somewhere today that I thought about this. I truly did. I thought about Wednesday when I preached it, and I've really been thinking. I was a couple sermons in my mind, my heart, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, this could benefit all of us. Not just Wednesday night crowd, this could benefit all of us. So that's why we've kind of brought it to this Sunday morning. And Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we're going to be introducing our theme for the year, and you'll be hearing more about that. So 1 John chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We're preaching on this subject, sin, the dirty, not so little word. Sin, the dirty, not so little word. It's a big deal. Sin is a big deal. It's a big deal in the life of a believer. It can be a big deal in the life of a believer. It is a big deal in the life for those that do not know Jesus as their Savior. And I'll just say something to you. Sin is something we, not trying to stereotype this morning, but sin is something we all struggle with. Right? It's something we all struggle with. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, it's something we all struggle with. So God in His Word is going to give us some help this morning. I really believe that. And I pray God will use it in a mighty way. It's a tremendous crowd in the Lord's house today. I don't know who you thought was preaching today, but I'm glad you came. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, it writes, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." I would say, what a friend we have in Jesus for that. Because we live in a very dark world, right? We live in a very dark world. And seemingly, it's getting darker by the day. But Jesus Christ is still the light of the world, and I'm grateful for that. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Literally, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, verse 7 of 1 John 1, we have fellowship. There that word is again. The word fellowship means to have in common. We have something in common. If we walk in the light, we have something in common. And it goes on, it says, we have fellowship not only with Jesus, as we'll see in we'll notice in verse 3 in a minute, but we have fellowship one with another, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have something in common with each other if we walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess, there's that word, and I love that word. It's one of the greatest words. It's one of the greatest words in all of the Bible as far as for a believer. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John has kind of transitioned into a courtroom setting. He's kind of transitioned into kind of a lawyer and a judge and the person being accused. I'm telling you, God's got a lot in me this morning. I hope the Lord allows it to get out in a minute. But John kind of transitions our minds and our hearts into something very judicial, something very, as far as legal transactions, standing before a judge. Picture that in your mind. And he goes on, look at what else he says. If we confess our sins, verse 2, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I said Wednesday night, and it's so true. That is a beautiful, intimate phrase that John uses there. He's talking to the believer. He says, my little children. Why would he say that? Let me tell you why he'd say that. Because if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've been born again. You're part of the family of God. You have God as your Father. And John says, little children, look at this now. These things write unto you that ye sin not. That's one of the reasons John wrote the book, to prevent sin in the life of a believer. But then he says, oh, and by the way, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And John says, and oh, by the way, he's the propitiation for our sins. He said, preacher, that's a $12 word. I'm going to give you the meaning in a minute. He is the propitiation for our sins. I thank God that it says plural. It uses the plural form of sin there. Because it's not just one sin I have trouble with. It's sometimes a plethora. It's sometimes multifaceted. There's a lot of different dynamics to that sin nature that we still have even as a believer. But John says he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also, and I love this statement, but also for the sins of the whole world. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and he'll be our guide. I ask you, Lord God, and I have asked you this already, and it's my heart, my prayer this morning, that you'll allow me to preach out of the overflow of my life. Lord, you've been doing a lot in my heart and my mind lately. And for that, I praise your name. I thank you, dear God, that to the believer, and you're a God of a second chance. And Father, to those that may not know your Savior this morning, those that are lost, God, you are hope. You are forgiver. And Father, I pray that you'll show them how much you love them, that they would be able then to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of their soul. Bless our time together, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sin, the dirty, not so little word. And John wants us to know some things when it comes, first of all, to the believer. If you were to back up, and we won't for time's sake, because I really sincerely do want to get to Zechariah in just a moment. But if you were to back up, you'll notice some things that John is really wanting us to know in the first several verses. He really, really passionately in very much detail, and again, back to that courtroom kind of picture, John's an eyewitness of Jesus. He witnessed Christ heal the sick. He witnessed Jesus raise the dead. He witnessed Christ speak life in the dead situations. John was with Jesus when Jesus would often encounter funeral processions. I preached a funeral Thursday, and I honestly said to them, and we were talking about Christ, and it was a joy to know this man was 86 years old, and his sister, I opened the floor up, and his sister, I'm guessing, was in her 80s, and she got up, and she gave a testimony, and she said, my brother, she said, I had a pamphlet or something from the Billy Graham Crusade, and on there it had the sinner's prayer, and she said, my brother, she said, I was able to witness my brother trust Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I thought, praise God for that. What a joy that is. So we then kind of transitioned and took the service and the celebration of that man's life that we preached the funeral. I didn't know him, but here's the good news. Because he trusted Jesus as his Savior, me and him had a lot in common. I didn't even know him, but we had a lot in common. You said, what did you have in common with him? He was my brother in Jesus Christ. And simply put, he just got to Jesus a little sooner than I did as far as by death. But as I said to them, I said, you know, when it comes to Christ, I said, Christ was somebody that if you were a funeral director in the first century and you were around Jesus, you didn't like that too much, because he would mess up your business. Because if you were doing a funeral procession, he would often come up and he would speak life into the body of that dead person and they would rise again. Can you imagine being a funeral director, and all of a sudden you're walking down the street and you got the wailing ladies over here squalling. You got all these people and they're mourning. And all of a sudden Jesus shows up. the guy stands up out of the casket, and I can picture the funeral director saying, "Here we go again, Jesus," and he got to go find somebody else that died, right? So I said that, but John was an eyewitness to Jesus. He was somebody that witnessed Christ. You know, when it comes to a courtroom setting, you know this, and I've shared this with you for years, that when it comes to a courtroom, often one of the keys to this, to the trial, the keys to the prosecuting attorney's case, or even the defense's case, one of the keys will be eyewitness testimony, right? Eyewitness testimony. So Jesus and John, they literally walk with each other. So John wants us to know that. And what John says in the first four verses is he wants us to understand that when it comes to salvation, it is a lie. It's something that's real. That having Jesus Christ your Savior, knowing that you can go to heaven when you die, like that 86-year-old man did on Thursday. Well, he died a few days before then. I preached it on Thursday. But he went to heaven when he died. Why? Because he had repented and placed his faith and trust. Hear this. In the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord to the saving of his soul. And John says you can have a life that is real. It's not about religion. The world doesn't need any more religion in it. Can I get a witness in this building? What the world needs is a genuine, for people to fall in love with a genuine and have a genuine relationship, an authentic relationship with God the Father through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. And John says, I had that, and I want you to know about it. So he now goes in, and he begins to talk to the believer. And the first thing we see that John is going to speak into as we start in verse 5 and following is we see the cleansing of sin. The cleansing of sin. And what John is going to do under this main thought for a moment, first of all, letter A, he is going to deal with the subject of sin. You know, as a believer in Jesus, I hope you hear my heart. As a believer in Jesus Christ, somebody who got saved when he was 16 years of age, eternally secure, when God saves a person, the Bible, Jesus, God declares that when a person gets born again, the Bible says, I'm not saying this, God said it. I give you eternal life, a life that never ends. That's what God gives you. That's a good deal. Can I get a witness? That's a big deal. That God gives eternal life. When we trust him as our Savior, he gives us eternal life. So John says, hey, but as a believer in Christ, John is really very emphatically saying, you've got to know how to deal with the subject of sin. You got to know, you got to understand something, that just because Jesus Christ saved you, you and I cannot claim, number one, you and I cannot claim sinless perfection. There's nobody in this room that has arrived spiritually. Say, preacher, you're insulting us today. Please hear my heart in this. I'm including myself in this picture. I was telling Toby, you've heard my story. I told Toby we were driving to see Adrian last night. It's about midnight, and we're driving to see Adrian. And Bonnie, Toby says, and I promise you, Toby says, Adrian had a heart attack, Dad? I said, yeah. He goes, I wonder if he was like Brother Bill. He said, I wonder if he's like Brother Bill. And Toby first said Red Lobster, and he realized it was Del Taco. He said, I wonder if he's like Brother Bill. And before he went to the hospital, you know he was having pains. I wonder if he went to Del Taco before he went to the emergency room. Bill did that. Having chest pains, and where do you go? Del Taco. So I promise the truth. That was your first heart attack, right? That was his first one. You said, how many has he had? He lives with Bonnie. How many do you think he has? I'm sorry, Bonnie. Brother Stephen told me to say that. I would have never said that. Brother Stephen told me that. But so, sure enough, so he goes, I wonder if he went to Del Taco. I said, no. I said, I don't think so. But come to find out, and I promise you, we're texting back and forth with Adrian late last night. We're on our way to the hospital. And he goes, and you know, typical me, typical man. He says, Adrian, and I quote, he said, preacher, I'm so mad. He said, because, he said, I wasn't able to eat my venison dinner tonight. What in the world? If Brother Dana was here, he'd whip him, Miss Carolyn. I'm telling you. If Brother Dana was here, he'd whip him. But so you say, where are you? John wants us to understand something. John wants us to realize that there is none of us that have arrived spiritually. And the reason, this is good. Man, this is good. The reason we haven't arrived yet spiritually is because of our sin nature. That's why. That's the reason. And the fact of the matter is this. John says, you got to understand something. When it deals in the context and the subject of sin, we all struggle with that. It isn't something Jesus said in another passage. It's common to man. That's what he talked about. Temptation, sin. It's temptation, something that's common to man. But the good thing about Jesus says, I'll make a way of escape. You don't have to succumb to that temptation. But you know what? Let's just be truthful. Sometimes we do give in, don't we? You say, I'm not going to nod my head yes to that preacher because I don't want people knowing. Well, we already know. And the reason we already know is because we're the same way. Let me personalize. I'm the same way. I told Toby, we were driving. I said, I'll be honest. I don't know what's gotten into me. And I have asked God for forgiveness. I have confessed it to the Lord. But I said, Toby, I said, right now in my life, and I don't know why this is. I said, but right now in my life, one of the biggest. You said, preacher, I can't believe you're going to tell. Well, just hang on there, Mr. Pharisee. Just listen for a minute. You've offended all of us today. Well, hang on. I said, Toby, I am struggling with high school basketball games. Watching them. And watching my babies get hurt. I'm like a grizzly bear, man. We played the other night. We beat Bethany. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. We beat Bethany. Yeah. You say, you really are bitter. Yeah, because some of you graduated from there. We whooped them, man. But one of the boys, honestly, one of the boys on their team, one of our kids stole the ball and ran down. And that boy got mad. His face turned as red as Miss Rhonda's shirt, the kid from Bethany. And he didn't even go for the ball. He hit that kid as hard as he could with his shoulder and knocked him into the wall and hurt that boy. You say, what do you do? I'm not going to imitate it. I got aggravated. And one of the staff, I shouldn't have done this, but I'm just confessing my sin. And I'm not justifying you doing the same thing that I did. Lord, if I haven't asked the Lord, I'm asking now, forgive me this. And he will. He's a great God. But one of the staff went and grabbed a wheelchair. That's how bad the boy got hurt. He went and grabbed the wheelchair. And I shouldn't have done this. To the deacons, I shouldn't have done this. You say, well, what did you do? Well, just hang on. So he's got a wheelchair, and he's coming right by me. I'm sitting on the front row, and my father-in-law is sitting right there, and he's quiet as a church mouse. And I looked at that staff from Bethany. I said, I shouldn't have done this. I said, your players are dirty. I didn't yell it like that, but I just wanted you to. I wanted the back row to be able to hear me when I said that. I said it very politely. Your players are dirty, sir. I didn't say it like that. And you know when it comes to something, right? You know that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I said, your players are dirty. And he turned and looked at me. And my father-in-law was like, oh, dear God, Lord Jesus, please. He just kind of looked away. I said, no. I said, your players are dirty. I said, that's a wrong thing that he did. And you know, I said, Pastor, why are you telling us that? I'm telling you, I'm just being vulnerable this morning. Man, I've been struggling. I really have been struggling with anger. And I've been asking the Lord to help me with that. And you know why I've been struggling with it? Here's why I've been struggling with it. Because of my sin nature. You say, well, I'll be honest. I don't know if I can have a pastor that struggles sometimes with that. Well, I don't know that I could have another member that lies all the time either. If you don't struggle with sin, this isn't a church for you. And I'm not being ill or honest. I'm not trying to insult you. But I'm just telling you, under God, we all have the nature, this sinful nature. And here's what comes as a surprise. And you can ask my wife. Well, don't ask Buttercup. She'll tell you the truth. It came out again last night. And I'm not going, all I asked for was, where's the chips and dip? That's all I ask. And my wife said, it's in the refrigerator. And I had the refrigerator door open, and I promise you before the Lord, it wasn't in my refrigerator. And I promise you, I thought, and she did it from the other room. It's in the refrigerator. I mean, it was awful. Her voice, the octave of her tone changed. In the Holy Spirit of God, I'm telling you as my witness, the truth, the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God, I promise you, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't listen. The Holy Spirit said, don't respond. Let it go. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I said, oh, this is awful. I can't believe I'm confessing this. I said, fellas, let me, husbands, how many husbands we got in the room today? I'm going to help you. What I'm about to do is going to help you to never do what I'm going to tell you I did. I said, you need to watch your tone there a little bit, don't you? Don't ever. Don't ever. Don't ever do that. You say, what'd you do? Well, had a hospital visit to make, and I got out of there. But before I walked to the, I promise you, before I walked in, you can ask Leslie this. Before I walked out here this morning in my office, she always comes to my office before service starts. I promise you, I looked at her and said, babe, I am truly sorry for what I did last night. And guess what else I did? I got a kiss out of the deal. Yeah. You say, I lost the button. Man, hang on a minute. I'm going to sew that thing on with fishing twine next time. Anyway, that's going to drive me crazy. You know that, right? So you just pray for me. I got to finish. The bad thing is I haven't even got started. You cannot claim sinless perfection. Look at the text in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, literally, that's talking about our actions. If we say that we have no sin, look at the next few statements here. We deceive ourselves. He's talking to the believer. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There isn't a one of us that should walk in church. Please excuse the button that's just come off my jacket. I'm trying to cover this up. Trying to cover up my ab, and I can't do that. But Tanya Quill. Oh, we got a snorter in the building. We got a snorter in the building. I gotta bring it back in. Let's come on. Let's count to 10. Let's bring us back in. Divert. None of us, if you know Christ as your Savior. None of us should ever walk in a church thinking we're better than anybody else. And John is speaking, man, this may help you this morning. He is speaking into the life of a believer. And you got to get hold. This is God, I'm telling you, this will bless you. Who's telling us this? You know who's telling us this, Joe? Somebody that walked with Jesus. Somebody that physically walked with Jesus. Somebody that saw Jesus perform miracles. Somebody that witnessed Jesus raise the dead. And John says, he didn't say if you, he said if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if somebody that walked with Christ in the first century and witnessed his power, and somebody that Jesus called the disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of John. John says, hey, we can't claim sinless perfection. Why? Because if we do, we deceive. The word deceive means to lead astray. We lead ourselves astray, Tracy. We lead ourselves astray when we try to say and try to claim that there's no sin in us. I'm grateful to God how the Lord took the service this morning in the songs. Brian asked me yesterday, he said, preacher, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, honestly, I got a couple of them I'm really wrestling with. And I said, I'm probably going to go to Psalm 139 and preach on fearfully and wonderfully made because of the whole kind of the topic of life and the Roe versus Wade anniversary recent. I thought I was probably going to do that this morning, but God took a different direction. But the overarching theme of the congregational songs this morning was on the grace of God. And it's not ironic that the grace of God was the overarching theme, because in the context of these verses, John wants us to know, listen, we can't claim sinless perfection, but here's something else we can't do. Look at verse 10. We cannot claim that we've never sinned. So he's talked about the actions of a believer, but now he's talking about, he's going to kind of now throw a whole general statement out there. And he said in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, now he's dealing not just, he's not dealing with our actions, he's now dealing with our nature. He's saying if we say that we do not have a sinful nature, look what else he says, verse 10. We make him a liar. Look what else he says. And his word is not in us. Here's what I know about God. You ready for this? What I know about God is, if you're going to go to heaven when you die, you got to come clean. You got to come clean. If you're going to go to heaven when you die, you've got to come clean and acknowledge that you're a sinner before an almighty God. You've got to do that. You've got to come clean before the judge this morning. You've got to come clean. True story, Governor Sonny Perdue was the governor of Georgia. He's a godly man, loves the Lord. He was a Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia, under the direction of Brother Johnny Hunt, the pastor there. Dear friends, I believe Brother, I think he may still go to that church, but nonetheless, he's a good man. And what I love, recently, Governor Perdue, retired Governor Perdue, he was just elected as Secretary of Agriculture under Trump's administration. So we have another God. He is. He's a godly man that's going to be as far as in that role. But interestingly enough, and it goes right with what I just said, and we may end here. We'll see. There was a member of Johnny's church who, her testimony, she has a phenomenal testimony. I can't remember her name, but I wish I could, because I would have you later, not now, but I would have you look up her testimony, because it's amazing testimony. She was saved out of a life of prostitution. She was saved out of a life of drug addictions. And literally, she, if I remember correctly, she had a criminal past. If I'm right in this, she served jail time. If I'm correct in all the whole testimony, she said she, standing outside of, somebody led her to Christ, standing right outside of a, I have kids in here, a place of ill repute. I'll leave it at that. Where a lot of bad things and immoral things happen. And she said, right outside of that environment, right outside the door of that place, she said, I knelt down a sinner and stood up a saint. She trusted Christ, her Savior. So years had gone by. And she, in being a felon, she has a felony on her record. And being a felon, that's on her. It'd be on her till she dies. And so she approached, she talked to Brother Johnny about it. She said, her and her husband have an amazing ministry now. And they help a lot of people. And just tremendous testimonies, both of them. I forget her name. But anyway, that's going to drive me nuts. Did I tell you I lost the button? It's really bothering me right now. But she said, Brother Johnny, she said, I got a question for you. She goes, do you think, stay with me. She said, do you think if I approached Governor Perdue, I think he had left office or he's just getting ready to leave office at the time. She said, you think if I approached him, do you think he would offer me a pardon? She said, that life was so far ago. She said, you think he would offer a pardon to me? So, make a long story short, because of timing, because of the length of it, it wasn't a possibility. But here's what I want you to understand. This is straight from Brother Johnny's lips, who retold this story. Do you realize that in order for someone to get a pardon, they have to admit guilt? They have to plead guilty. That's a good word. So, in order, as I said, some of you in this room, and I really mean this, you may be a church member watching the internet. Some of you in this room,
if you say, well, preacher, why would I acknowledge that I'm a sinner before God? I don't want people thinking bad about me. Listen, it doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what God already says about you. And God says, if you say you have not sinned, His word isn't in you. To the believer, you deceive yourself if you don't think you have sinful actions. Maybe in thought, maybe in deed, maybe sin of commission, sin of omission. We wrestle, we struggle. But if somebody that says, I've never sinned, what did John say? Look at this. Look, this is strong language. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. I ask you, are you calling God a liar today? Oh, preacher, I would never do that. You do with your deeds. If you're lost and you've never trusted Christ your Savior, and you say you're not a sinner before God, you're calling him a liar. Because, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I've learned a long time ago. If God calls you something, that's what you are. If God says it about you, that's what you are. And so the point is, man, I've got so much in me, and I don't know why I'm not going to be able to finish this. But I will finish it eventually. Because it's going to help you. It's going to help us all. You got to come clean. To the believer, next Sunday morning, I'll have to do it, because next Sunday morning I want to introduce a new series. But to the believer, I would encourage you right now to lawyer up. Lawyer up. We have an advocate. The word advocate in verse 1 of chapter 2 is the word lawyer. It literally means one that's called alongside to help. Sorry, guys, I've messed up the outline, but just stay with me. Stay pressed in. To a lost person that doesn't know Jesus, you see, Jesus will be your lawyer to the believer, first of all. If you're a believer, he'll be your lawyer. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's what he does presently, right now. When I call upon him, if I'm having an issue, and I'm grateful that when I've asked him to forgive me of my anger at basketball games, or to forgive me for the way I talked to my wife last night, I'm grateful that I do not have to plead before the Father on my own. He'll plead it for me. You can read Zechariah chapter 3. We'll talk about it another time. But right there in that story, you have a beautiful story of that principle fleshed out. As a believer, he's our lawyer. But if you're lost and you don't know Christ, you know where you stand in his courtroom tonight? You know what he is right now in the courtroom? He's your judge. He's your judge. And you stand before him. And you know what this judge offers? This is good. You know what the judge offers? A full pardon. When you receive a full pardon, you're not guilty anymore. So I suggest, if you're here today and you've never repented and believed the gospel, I suggest if you can picture in your mind standing before and in God's courtroom and standing before the holy and righteous judge, I encourage you right now to plead guilty. Acknowledge guilt. You've sinned. You need his forgiveness. You will not get out of this world alive. And sweet friend, I'm going to say this to you. You better die in Jesus. You can die two ways. You can die in your sins, or you can die in Jesus. And maybe the whole reason, preach, I'll be honest. I mean, I not only struggle with sin. John made a statement earlier in the text. You remember this? The statement meant we do not practice. Talks about practicing sin. We do not practice the truth. You say, preacher, what's your point? As a believer in Christ, it should not be an habitual pattern of our life. It's not our nature. As a believer in Jesus, we have a new nature. But if you're here today and you do not have Christ your Savior, maybe the whole reason you're struggling right now with all kinds of sin. I mean, not just that you're struggling. See, believers in Christ, sometimes we can struggle with it. But as a believer in Jesus, the Bible says sin will not have dominion over us. But if you're lost, it does often have dominion over you. And it controls everything that you do. It controls your thought life. It controls your behavior. It controls the way you talk. It controls your tongue. It controls your heart. Why? Because it has dominion over you. And the only way you can break that dominion is to be set free. And the only way you can be set free is to plead guilty before the righteous judge. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Brian's going to come. Songwriter's coming. Pianist and organist are coming. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus, I beg you. I said a moment ago, and I mean this. I'm talking to church members too when I preach this sermon. You know that, right? Oftentimes when we use the word lost, sometimes if we're not careful, sometimes, you know, church members say, well, he's talking about lost people. I'm a church member, so I've got to be okay. Last I checked, church membership doesn't save. If you're standing before the righteous judge, you can't say, well, I'm a church member. That's not pleading guilty. You ought to do what sometimes I've seen done in court things that I've watched and shows that I've watched. It's not uncommon at sentencing for someone to say, I throw myself on the mercy of the court. I encourage you now to throw yourself at the mercy of the court, the righteous judge. Acknowledge your guilt. Ask God to forgive you of being a sinner, and by faith believe that Jesus, our advocate, our defense attorney, did for you what you could not do for yourself. And I encourage you to repent and believe the gospel. Believe that he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. I told the believer it's time to lawyer up, but if you're lost and without Christ, if you'll acknowledge your sin before the righteous judge, ask God to forgive you of your sins, what God will do then is say, I'm going to bring Jesus in now as your lawyer because he can plead your case. Maybe you need to be saved. I encourage you to do so. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know Lord's my Savior. But I'll be honest. And pastor, I'll be honest. I can't believe you told us about your anger. Well, here's what I've also known over the years. I find that sometimes the things that I'm struggling with are sometimes things my people are struggling with. And if God can help me, and he is, he can help you. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray and just ask God to help you. Maybe you'd like to lawyer up this morning in your pew. Lawyer up this morning at the altar. Ask Jesus to help you. He will. You come. What's your number, brother?
305.
You come. You come as we sing.